It's been just a thrill to be with them in Japan, in Switzerland, many places in the United States. And we've been dear friends for all these years and continue to be. And I'm just so thankful for the work that they are doing. And the special prayer request is that these people who are waiting on the border, I mean, we really want to see them get into the country because there's a whole lot of them. And I'm not going to say anything more other than that. You're in for a treat, and I think you'll appreciate Dieter and Shelley very much, as we do, as well as their kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Don was in our wedding, and so he knows a lot of our weaknesses, so thank you. Mark asked me to share a little bit of my path of how I got to go to the mission field, and I will tell you a little bit through this time. But let us first read the sermon text. Sermon text is out of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 13. I read from the ESV, English Standard Version. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 13. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us your word. And thank you for this morning that we can come gather to worship you. Thank you for this congregation. And Lord, we ask that by your Spirit you would move and help us to hear what you want us to hear, that we might follow you, trust you, and walk with you to the glory and honor of your name. Amen. The date is April 21, 1977, and the place is Bangkok, the capital of Thailand. It is around 10 p.m., and I find myself lying on a bed in a hotel room somewhere in the middle of this bustling city of several million. I'm totally exhausted, scared, and I wonder how in the world did I let myself get into this. But it is exactly in that place and in those circumstances that the Lord met me in a profound way that changed my outlook on life. What had happened? About 2 years before, I had accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. Growing up in Switzerland, I had gone to church and Sunday school from early childhood on, but it was only as a 16-year-old that I surrendered my life to God and consciously asked Jesus into my life. At that point, I said to him, "Whatever you want to do in my life, I want. Whatever you want me, wherever you want me to go, I will go." A year and a half later, a missionary couple from Japan came to our Bible group and shared their vision for building a rehabilitation center for alcoholics in Sapporo, Japan. In a very unique way, the Lord impressed on me that this was for me and that I should volunteer and go and help them, as I had learned the trade as a bricklayer and builder. I had never left Switzerland before, except for a short trip into neighboring Austria and Germany. I had never flown before, and I only spoke German at that point. So as a total greenhorn, quite ignorant of other cultures, I left Switzerland on my own to go join the missionary couple in Japan to help them with that building project. Little did I realize how that would change the direction of my life. As my parents drove me to the airport on that April morning, it had snowed and it was cold. I wore thick wool pants, long-sleeve shirt, undershirt, and a sweater besides my leather coat. I arrived in Bangkok that evening at 6 p.m. local time. That was my first stop. It was 90 degrees Fahrenheit, and the humidity was close to 100%. I had long taken off my wool sweater and rolled up my sleeves, but I still sweated profusely. They had warned me about being careful to watch my luggage and not let go of it. As I exited the airport to find a taxi to take me to the hotel, thousands of people lined the way out of the airport and crying and yelling at us, trying to get us to use their rickshaws and their motorcycles to motorcycle taxis to take us to their hotels. But I had been instructed to get a ticket for a minibus that took several passengers to their different hotels, and I successfully managed to get that ticket and a seat in one of those buses. After waiting quite some time for the minibus to be filled up with several passengers that went to different hotels, I was in for another shock. Ignorant as I was coming from Switzerland, I had no idea that there were different rules of driving in the world. It felt like the bus driver was only using the horn and the gas pedal. A road that in Switzerland would have two lanes was filled with four or five lanes of traffic. Red lights seemed to get totally ignored and complete chaos seemed to rule that rush hour traffic. Plus, everyone was going way too fast for comfort. After what felt like an eternity of a horrific drive, I finally got dropped off at my hotel as the last customer. Immediately, I was engulfed with another mob of people shouting at me, pulling at my luggage, trying to sell me food and all kinds of other stuff. Only with great difficulty did I finally escape up the steps and get into the hotel lobby. At the front desk, the receptionist spoke in broken English to me and handed me an envelope. I was able to determine using my dictionary, no smartphones, no Google Translate in those days, that something with my flight to Hong Kong the next day had changed. But I had no clue about the details or how I would get back to the airport. I was about to break down, and so I cried in desperation, "Help me, Lord, help me." Just then, I noticed a woman clad in white pantsuit, stepping out of the nearby elevator. She sure looked German to me, and so in an attempt of desperation, I ran over to her and asked her, "Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Do you speak German? And could you help me?" She did, and she gladly did help me. To me, she seemed like an angel sent from God. She was. She translated the letter to me and helped me arrange for me to be picked up by a taxi the following morning that would bring me to the airport so I could make the earlier flight to which I had been switched. I profusely thanked her and then took the elevator up to my hotel room. I was completely shot, exhausted, felt devastated, totally culture shocked, and scared. If I had known how, I would have turned on my heels and gone back to Switzerland and never left Switzerland again. God had a better plan. There I was in the bed, crying out to God. Suddenly, I was flooded with a peace, and what seemed to me an audible voice said to me, "If I want you to get to Japan, don't you think I will make sure that you will get there safely?" And with that, I fell asleep, slept like a baby, and the next morning woke up refreshed with a complete new outlook on life and a new understanding of God's presence and watch care over me. Without any difficulties, I was able to travel the next couple of days to make it to Sapporo. In those days, the cheap charter flights took quite some time to get to the places that they would take you. But I arrived safely in Sapporo, and a life-changing adventure continued for me. As a goodbye present, a good friend of mine had actually given me a small little scripture card with the verse of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12 on it. Du wirst in Freuden ausziehen und im Frieden geleitet werden. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. At our sending out service to the mission field 12 years later in 1989, now with Shelley and three of our daughters, the pastor, unbeknownst to him, used this same verse for that sermon, the sending out sermon. So this verse has become our life verse. This promise of God came up again and again whenever we face significant changes or decisions in our lives. It stands for God's unchanging faithfulness and guidance to us, and not just to us, but to any one of you, followers of Christ. Naturally, this verse is a consequence of what goes before in this very significant chapter of Isaiah 55. So let me just touch briefly on a few points that we may ponder here. First, this chapter opens with God's amazing invitation to us, which we already read at the beginning as our call to worship. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast love, my steadfast, sure love for David. God here invites us to a personal relationship with him. He is the one who seeks this relationship with us and offers it us as a gift, not as something to be earned by doing good works or that we might become acceptable to him. No. He says, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Freely offered to whoever will take up his invitation. And of course, that reminds us of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. However, God is a holy God, and we all have sinned and fall short. Isaiah reminds us of that also in chapter 53, verse 8. Clearly he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us. We have turned everyone to his own way. We are all sinners, rebels, in need of salvation. So then in verse 6 of our text we read, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We all have to come to that realization that God is our creator. We are not a chance happening of the universe, but we are uniquely created in the image of our creator. But sin has separated us from God, and as much as we think we can save ourselves, that we might get right with God again on our own strength, it cannot happen. It is not done. Salvation is from God, and his way of salvation is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. It is not a way we would choose, but our Heavenly Father in his mercy has chosen this way and this way only to save us. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Salvation is a gift of God. But as with any gift, we have to accept it and open it, as it were. Our faith in God needs to rest on the realization of his sovereignty, as it is set forth in the following verses, verse 8 and 10. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And of course, connected to this is the total reliability and trustworthiness of God's word, what he says, what he promises. Verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I have sent it. And based on this understanding, based on the reality set forth in God's word, followers of Christ are sent out into the world to be God's ambassadors, his agents, to spread the good news. The promise in verse 12, for you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, is for us all believers. It becomes the calling for every follower of Christ. It is the natural consequence of what is said before in Isaiah chapter 55. As God's gift of his salvation and his Spirit fills us with thankfulness and joy, the believer cannot help but go out and make the good news known to those we encounter or to those God has brought us in contact with. And as we are led forth by the Spirit, the promise is, instead of the thorns shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord and an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The purposes of the Lord and God will stand. That was something I learned in that bed in Bangkok as God met me there in a very wonderful way. The glory belongs completely to God, our loving, holy, and sovereign God, who works in and through us through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Paul the Apostle says it this way in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever." Let us pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you and praise you for your love you have poured out upon us by sending Jesus into this world to save us and to show us the way. As we contemplate these wonderful things again and again, fill us anew with your joy and lead us forth in peace to those you have placed us among, to our families, to our neighbors, to our colleagues we work with, and wherever you would send us, that we would share with joy this good news of your love and testify to it, to the glory and honor of your holy name, it shall be. Amen.